Jai Ho Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Ho Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janna Randana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janna Randana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Ho Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Ho Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Ho Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janna Randana. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janna Randana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Ho Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Ho Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Om Vishnu Pada Paramahansa Parivraj Kacharya Ashrutarashtra Sri Shemaresi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Bo Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotee. All glories to the assembled devotee. All glories to the assembled devotee. All glories to Sri Sri Guru Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction, Text Number 58. Word meanings, kim, what is, dusaham, painful, new indeed, sadhunam, for saintly persons, vidusham, of learned persons, kimapekshitam, what is dependence, kimakaryam, what is forbidden work, kadaryanam, of persons in the lowest grade, dusjajam, very difficult to give up, kim, what is, drita atmanam, of persons who are self-realized. Kim du saham nu sadhunam, vidusham kimapekshitam, kimakaryam kadaryanam, duschajam kim dritatmanam, kim dusaham nu sadhunam, vidusham kimapekshitam, kimakaryam kadaryanam, duschajam kim dritatmanam, kim dusaham nu sadhunam, vidusham kimapekshitam, kimakaryam kadaryanam, duschajam kim dritatmanam. Jajam kim dritatmanam, kim sadhunam, vidusham kim apekshitam, kim akaryam kadaryanam, dusjajam kim dritatmanam, kim dusaham sadhunam, vidusham kim apekshitam, kim akaryam kadaryanam, dusyajam kim dritatmanam. Ladies, kim dusaham sadhunam, vidusham kimapekshitam, kimakaryam kadaryanam, duschajam kimritatmanam. Translation: what is painful for saintly persons who strictly adhere to the truth? How could there not be independence for pure devotees who know the Supreme Lord as the substance? What deeds are forbidden for persons of the lowest character, and what cannot be given up for the sake of Lord Krishna by those who have fully surrendered at his lotus feet? Srila Prabhupada's purport. Since the eighth son of Devaki was to kill Kamsa, one might ask what the need was for Vasudev to deliver the firstborn child. Their answer is that Vasudev had promised Kamsa that he would deliver all the children born of Devaki. Kamsa, being an asura, did not believe that the eighth child would kill him. He took it for granted that he might be killed by any of the children of Devaki. Vasudev, therefore, to save Devaki, promised to give Kamsa every child, whether male or female. From another point of view, Vasudev and Devaki were very pleased when they understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna would come as their eighth son. Vasudev, a pure devotee of the Lord, was eager to see Krishna appear as his child from the eighth pregnancy of Devaki. Therefore, he wanted to deliver all the children quickly so that the eighth turn would come and Krishna would appear. He begot one child every year. From another point of view, Vasudeva and Devaki were very pleased when they understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, would come as their eighth son. Vasudeva, a pure devotee of the Lord, was eager to see Krishna appear as his child from the eighth pregnancy of Devaki. Therefore, he wanted to deliver all the children quickly so that the eighth turn would come and Krishna would appear. He begot one child every year. Vasudeva and Devaki were very pleased when they understood that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, would come as their eighth son. Vasudeva, a pure devotee of the Lord, was eager to see Krishna appear as his child from the eighth pregnancy of Devaki. Therefore, he wanted to deliver all the children quickly so that the eighth turn would come and Krishna would appear. He begot one child every year. The idea is that the residents of Vrindavan, to take shelter of Krishna, they're inspired to take shelter of Krishna because there's some fear, some situation arises, and they turn to Krishna. Actually, I looked briefly at the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. I was trying to, because it describes there at the end what goes on in Goloka Vrindavan. There is some mention of Kaliya Leela, but I'm not sure if it was just a general reference to Krishna's nature. But mostly what I looked up about the devotee's suffering, and all of the examples that I found about devotees suffering were their suffering in separation. Of course, we know that's also a kind of illusion. It's yoga maya acting because, for example, they think Krishna has left for Mathura, but he hasn't gone anywhere. He's always there. Of course, he's there within their hearts. In any case, we have these ideas that, you know, the devotees are suffering and they have to take shelter of Krishna. But are they really suffering? So here, Vasudeva, it says that it was very painful for him to deliver his firstborn. And then we hear that that nothing is painful for the sadhus. So the word that's used here, Prabhupada translates it here as dusaham. The word is dusaham. King Dusaham. What is dusaham? So dusaham, I looked it up in the Sanskrit dictionary. And another meaning of it is intolerable. So it may be painful in a certain sense, but it's not intolerable for the devotee. The devotee will do it. We find even in material life, sometimes things that are apparently painful, people get a certain pleasure from it, from the exertion. Just like playing sports, for example, there's a lot of pain involved, but people love it. They do it because they get something from it. Recently I was hearing about people who are mountain climbers. These people are amazing. What they do, put their lives at risk. Sometimes their noses freeze off and their toes and fingers freeze off, and then they'll go back and do it again. Why? Who knows? But somehow they're just driven. They have to do it, and they must be getting something from it. We don't do anything in this world unless there's some taste from it. So there's so much pain involved, but they're tolerating the pain. The pain is in somehow is part of the pleasure. Now, of course, we also know that in the material world, every pleasure has its painful aspect. There's no such thing as pure pleasure in the material world. In fact, this world, dukkhalayam ashashvatam, Krishna says, he certifies it as dukkhalayam, which means the place of dukkha, place of misery. So even though that's the pervading atmosphere, that's the overall mood of the place, you might say, that there's misery here. Even if you can enjoy, at some point that's all going to be taken away. Just the temporariness of your enjoyment tinges it somewhat. The fact that it's going to end. We may experience this sometimes. You're really enjoying something. You think, boy, I wish this would never end. But, you know, it's going to end. So it puts a little salt in the sweet rice, the temporariness of this material world. So in the spiritual world, even though things look like misery, they're all happiness. The atmosphere that pervades, the mood that pervades is one of ananda. It's all ananda there, everything. In the Nectar of Devotion, there are so many excerpts from different scriptures illustrating various points of the Gaudiya Vaishnava rasa philosophy. So there we see oftentimes different things that appear to be suffering situations for the devotees, but they're all part of the atmosphere of ananda that pervades the spiritual world. Actually, it's said in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Yatadeka Vaishnavera Vyavahara Dukkha Janayanish Joy Se Paramananda Sukha. This is in the context, this verse is in the context of the description of Sridhar, Kulavacha Sridhar. Of course, Kulavacha Sridhar, what did he do? He was selling banana leaves and making a living. So he was living extremely poor conditions. So Vrindavan Das Thakur is cautioning us, don't think that he's suffering, Kulavacha Sridhar. Don't think like an ordinary materialist. An ordinary materialist would look at Kulavacha Sridhar and think, oh, this person is really suffering. So he says, Yatadeka Vaishnavera Vyavahara Dukkha. If you see a Vaishnava who appears to be suffering in an ordinary way, Vyavahara means, we would say mundane. Just like Sanatan Goswami, he says, Vyavahari Pandit. The people see me as a pundit in ordinary things. We know in Vedic culture, what does the pundit do? The Brahmana, he knows how to cure disease, knows how to read horoscopes, different things. So people think, oh, you're a big pundit. And what did Sanatana say? Yeah, they think I'm a pundit, but I don't even know who I am. So this is Vyavahari knowledge, jnana, ordinary knowledge. So Vyavahari Dukkha is ordinary distress. So it would seem that Kulavacha Sridhar is in a distressful situation. Because we think, wow, if I were living like that, whoa, I couldn't handle it. But he says, Nishchay Janiha, know for certain. Say Paramananda Sukha. It's actually Paramananda Sukha. It's actually transcendental pleasure that he's experiencing. In his commentary to that verse, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that it's all transcendental pleasure because it's his service to Krishna. He's feeling ecstasy in his service to Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, his particular service is to play a role in the Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gaurangera Sangigane Nitya Siddha Koryamane. Narottam Das Thakur says, all of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're Nitya Siddha. So they're playing a role, they're assisting the Lord in his pastimes. So of course there's great transcendental pleasure in that. Whatever it looks like from the outside, the devotee is engaged in their service to Krishna and enjoying great transcendental pleasure. So this is Vasudeva's situation here. Because he's a sadhu, actually in his commentary to this verse, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, his book is called Sarartha Darshini, which is commentary on the 10th canto. He also explains the mind of Vasudeva, and he says, Vasudeva is thinking, I'm such a sadhu that I don't want to tell a lie. I'm really afraid of telling a lie. I don't want to break my promise to Kamsa. But how is it that I'm going to give away my children? What kind of a sadhu is that? So this is explained further by some of the other lines in this verse. Vidusham kim apekshitam, the second line of this verse. Vidusham kim apekshitam. Kim apekshitam means what is dependence? Vidusham, for a learned person. So Vasudeva is, of course, a learned person. So what is the idea here? What is dependence? It means, dependence means conditioned soul. He's not a conditioned soul. The conditioned soul is always dependent. Everything the conditioned soul does depends on certain conditions. And the conditioned soul is conditioned to act in certain ways. But the independent person, the Mahabhagavat, who is transcendental, is not under the same rules as the ordinary person. So he can do something extraordinary, which to us would seem unthinkable. And it's perfectly right, because he's situated in a different plane. He's acting on a higher plane. So that's one perspective for what he's doing here, giving all of his children away to Kamsa so they could be killed. Kamsa's going to kill him. I'm going to kill them all. Because he's independent of ordinary morality. Why? Especially because he has a higher motive. which we'll hear about also. So the next line is Kim Akaryam Kadaryanam. Vasudeva is thinking, because I know Kamsa is going to kill them all, because he'll do anything. This is another unthinkable thing. How could someone kill babies? Just because he's afraid of his own life, which the voice from the sky said was going to happen in the 8th pregnancy, but he's so concerned, he's not thinking straight, and because he's an asura, then he'll do anything. He'll even murder children. We hear about this, and we think, you know, Vasudeva was a big demon, but there's so many. If you study world history, you see horrible, horrible things that went on. These things still go on today. Armies invade villages and state countries, destroying everything, raping the women, killing the children, killing the women, killing everybody. This has gone on over and over again in history, up to modern times. So these horrible, horrible things, we think, how could anybody do that? Because they're evil. That's how they can do it. So Kamsa is thinking, Vasudeva is thinking, I shouldn't think that Kamsa won't do this. He'll do it. He'll do it. Believe it. I may not believe it, because for me it's unthinkable. How can anybody do that? But he'll do it because of his character. I won't. I'm a Vasudeva. He's attached to his character. We see this often in the Krishna book, different devotees, how concerned they are, just like Yudhishthir, so concerned about his character. Actually, character is an important thing. The character is sometimes described as what you do when nobody's looking. We may act in one way if we think we're going to get caught or people are going to see it. But if no one's going to see, how do we act? So the devotees are concerned about that. But the demons, the wicked persons, they'll do anything. In fact, they don't even care what anybody thinks, especially those who are very powerful. They're able to do whatever they want. I've been thinking recently how very interesting times we live in. For the first time in history, I would say, you can get anything you want anywhere in the world if you got the money to do it, isn't it? Practically anything you want, because there's communication all over the world. And if you have money, you can make contacts. You can get anything, anything that's available on this planet. If you had the money, you can get it. So imagine how much power people would... In former times, people that had... Of course, I suppose that was always the case, because there just weren't as many things available. In one sense, because technology wasn't advanced like it is today. So you could have palaces and so on. But now you can get it. If you have that money, you can get that power. And people who are evil and wicked, they use that power and they get anything they want, including people, of course. Slavery is still something that goes on today all over the world. Even in America, slavery goes on. So wicked people will do anything to try to hurt others. Of course, that's ultimately what happens. What is the result of wickedness is that people get hurt. In Krishna's Leela, as I was describing, I'll go back a little bit, when I was talking about catastrophes and how the devotees, they don't really get hurt. They get protected. Krishna protects them. Pritranaya sadhunam. He protects them from harm. So I was thinking of the Govardhan Leela. Because was that a calamity? Thunder and lightning and rains. And when you hear the description, it's amazing how, you know, like a terrible hurricane. So these are horrible things, high winds and so on. So what did Krishna do? He protected the residents of Vrindavan by lifting Govardhan Hill. So we may have this picture in our mind of Krishna lifting a hill. So what's underneath the hill? Just some dirt. So they're all standing there in the dirt waiting for the storm to pass. Some years ago, I was in Mayapur, and Bhakti Charu Swami was reading from the Gopal Champu of Jiva Goswami. And the description of the Govardhan Leela is a little different there. There it's described that when Krishna lifted the hill, he didn't just have the Brajvasis standing in dirt. He created palaces. It was like Vaikuntha under there, under Govardhan Hill. So when Krishna gives protection, he really gives protection. So devotees are not, even in dangerous situations, they're always protected by Krishna. So the last line here, duschajam kim dritatmanam. So duschajam means difficult, what is difficult to give up for persons who are drita atmanam. So he's thinking, giving up, what is he giving up? He's giving up his children. So how could he possibly give up his children? This is going back to this point. Because he's drita atmanam. Srila Prabhupada translates this as persons who are self-realized. But the Sanskrit is interesting because drita means to hold. And atmanam means Krishna, Atma. Sarva bhutastam atmanam, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 6:29. The true yogi sees me within everything, and everything within me. Within everyone, and everyone within me. So he's Atma, or Atma, or Paramatma. So one who holds the Super Soul, or specifically Krishna, as Srila Prabhupada in his translation, he says, those who have fully surrendered at his lotus feet. This is the way he translates this, at persons who are self-realized, persons who have fully surrendered to his Krishna's lotus feet. Or Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, those who hold, again, drita, the lotus feet of Krishna within their hearts. So this is Vasudeva's position. And as Srila Prabhupada explains in this purport, the overriding factor in why Vasudeva was acting the way he's acting is because he wants Krishna to come right away. And the according to the Acharya, his action is completely suitable. He can sacrifice everything. He can sacrifice the world to serve Krishna. Of course, that's what he is. His motive is he wants to serve Krishna. He wants Krishna to come so he can engage in his service. So he's thinking, I'll make sure that happens. As soon as Devaki can be pregnant, year after year after year, I'm going to make sure she gets pregnant and delivers those children because we want Krishna to come. Prabhupada says here that Vasudeva and Devaki, when they heard that Krishna was going to appear, so in what we've been reading here, there's no mention of them hearing that. We only hear the oracle saying, your eighth child will kill Krishna, will kill Kamsa. So how did they know it was going to be Krishna? So that's not explained here. So we have to go back to, because they're dritatmanam, because they're self-realized souls, because they have the lotus feet of Krishna within their hearts, they know these things. Vidusham, they're fully self-realized persons, and they know that Krishna is going to come. So because of this, because they know everything, they know more than ordinary conditioned souls know, they're ready to act in this way. Their bhava, whatever the devotees do in bhava, in their pure state, of course, it's perfection. So we have to, here we can see that Shukadeva Goswami is helping us to understand Vasudeva so we don't criticize him. We're told later by Shukadeva Goswami in the context of the Rasa Leela, don't judge the very extremely powerful persons, which of course includes the Mahabhagavatas. You can't judge them, you can't imitate them, because things that are ordinarily false, they get burned up in the purity of their service to Krishna. And we know that everyone who is connected in these leelas, there's always an auspicious outcome. These children, they will be killed, but there's a whole backstory to what happened, who these children are, and why they took birth in the womb of Devaki, and why they were killed, and so on. There's a whole story involved in this. And of course, ultimately, they'll get liberation, as happens to pretty much everyone who comes in contact with Krishna, because of his power. There's a verse, I think, is it in the sixth canto, where it says that whether your contact with Krishna is out of anger or envy or lust or whatever, if you make that connection, then it can become purified and you can get liberation through that. So we have to see in these pastimes the pure activities of the liberated Vaishnava as being demonstrated here by the thinking of Vasudeva and being revealed by Shukadeva Goswami. So the verse again. What is painful for saintly persons who strictly adhere to the truth How could there not be independence for pure devotees who know the Supreme Lord as the substance? What deeds are forbidden for persons of the lowest character, and what cannot be given up for the sake of Lord Krishna by those who have fully surrendered at his lotus feet? Any questions or comments? Rami Yankuru? Well, there are often many motives. Is one of the motives that Vasudeva is eager to see Kamsa get liberation. That could be. The devotees are Trikalagya, so they know what's going to happen. One would think that because the devotee's heart is pure, it's not of envy. It's not that he's thinking, oh, I hate this Kamsa, I want to see him die. That might be the way we think. But if he knows that, no, Krishna's going to come, he's going to liberate Kamsa. So that could certainly be part of his thinking. Manamatipu?
You mentioned about Vasudeva wanting to protect his character. My question is, what's the difference between trying not to get pain and protecting one's character?
What's the difference between wanting fame? In other words, what's the motive for wanting to protect one's character? In fact, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, that's one of the arguments Krishna uses with Arjuna, you're going to become infamous. Because we can say for a kshatriya, that may be part of their motivation. They want to be known as great warriors. They want to become famous for that. And they want to be known as charitable. So being famous for doing it is part of the motivation. But we would think that for the Mahabhagavata, that's really not the motivation. The motivation is the natural purity of their heart. There's a natural repulsion against things that are signs of bad character, doing sinful things, bad things. The devotee hates those things. The Prabhupada used to use that term sometimes. He said, these American boys and girls, they used to do this or that, drinking and smoking and all these things. But now they hate those things, he used to say. So that's the natural, that's not part of the bhava, that's part of the heart of the devotee. So I would say that in that context, the devotee wants to protect their character because they cherish, in some sense, they cherish their purity, their relationship to Krishna. That's who they are. Sometimes today people use the excuse, well, that's just who I am. I can't change. They do stupid things and you say, why do you do that? They say, well, that's just who I am. So for the devotee, that's just who they are. They're pure, so they're not inclined. They feel repulsed just by the idea of doing something that's immoral. And that's the sign of their purity. Oh, I'm looking too low.
You were talking about evil people a few times. I was just wondering if they're there's like innocent or ignorant and then there's evil. So what's like the demarcation line? What puts you over that line to bring you to the point of evil?
I don't know if a direct... I mean, we have in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, we have the asura and asuras, so we have different characteristics are given there of the evil person. Ishvaroham ahambogi siddhana. I'm perfect, powerful, and happy. Everything is... One of the things we often see with evil people is that they have a lot of power and they can cause a lot of harm. So maybe it's a matter of degrees. I don't know if we can make a demarcation line. Although in some ways, of course, we're told to do that. We're told to ignore those who are dusha, the envious, dusha. Dusha, the root of the word dusha is dwa, which means two. Two, which means that one doesn't see any connection between oneself and Krishna, or Krishna is the enemy, God is the enemy. Recently in class I mentioned one purport where Prabhupada says that there's a class of persons who are, their aim of life is to challenge the authority of Krishna. Just like our aim is to glorify Krishna, their aim is to defeat Krishna. So I think we would describe such persons as evil, wicked. They're directly against Krishna, trying to destroy him, destroy his name and fame and so on, trying to destroy the spreading of his holy name and so on. These are some of the things that we might consider. And also, I would say, a complete lack of conscience that we find here. It seems to be the case with Kamsa, although Vasudeva does talk him down, but in a kind of a political way. But a complete lack of conscience, we find people, just like some of that, as I was saying, some things are unthinkable. So, like killing a child, who can imagine such a thing, doing such a thing, an innocent child, or anyone, but especially a child. So someone who can do that without any conscience, so we would, I think that would probably be a good definition of evil person. They don't worry about what they do. Unfortunately, we live in an age that innocent people do evil things. Their hearts may not be so evil, but because the age is so contaminated, that's one of the aspects of our karma. Karma is a very complicated subject, as I often bring up. But part of the result of karma seems to be that you suffer in situation, maybe not every single second of whatever happens to you is due to a specific thing that you did in the past. But part of our karma is that it creates situations of suffering, where we're put into an atmosphere where there's a lot of suffering that takes place. And we're also put into an atmosphere where we're forced, you know, just the fact that we're born in Kali Yuga means that we're going to be influenced to act in certain ways, and those influences are very strong. So we may find ourselves, from the beginning of life, doing horrible things, not really consciously doing them, but in a sense kind of forced to do those things. So we live in an age that it's an ocean of faults, and it's described as an ocean of faults. So there's certainly many evil things going on, and we begin, even so-called innocent people, of course, in one sense, there are no innocent people, but in a relative scale, more innocent people end up doing horrible things. That's why you have to take shelter of the holy name for protection. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, because the power is there in Lord Chaitanya's instructions to protect ourselves from those influences. So it's very important to stay in touch with that energy for that protection. Krishna Gopal Prabhu.
It's interesting because you have the people who want to commit evil things. They're the demons. And then you have those innocent people who commit sinful activities. But when they come in contact with Krishna consciousness, when they actually get the exposure to a alternative, then they wake up. Mm-hmm. And so you see that transformation happen where, oh yeah, I really actually shouldn't be eating animals.
Right.
So it's there. The soul is wanting, even though they're in ignorance and they're innocent, they're committing these activities. So it's up to the devotees to spread this Krishna consciousness to wake up those who actually are innocent.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's one way we can distinguish those who are receptive, or at least somewhat receptive, even appreciative of the message of Krishna consciousness. They're not evil and wicked. That's a good point. And they, you know, become influenced by Krishna Katha. Dharmaraj?
You were explaining that there's probably some philosophy behind these kids that were being killed by Kamsa as soon as they were born. Mm-hmm. Can you explain that a little bit as to who they are or why?
Yeah, that will be described later here, but as I remember it, these... The story goes back some generations, but they were cursed by somebody, I forget who, was it Kalanemi, to take birth in the womb of Devaki and be killed by Krishna. So they represent, there are six children before Subhadra and Balaram. So they represent Kam, Krodh, Loba, Moha, Mada, and Matsarya. These six things: calm is lust, anger, greed,
illusion, madness, and envy. So these six things, so it's presented in a kind of metaphorical way that these six sons, they were killed by Kamsa, and Kamsa, or Devaki's relation to Kamsa, represents fear. So the idea is that fear of material existence helps to destroy Kam, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada, Matsara, destroy these things. So Kamsa represents fear, and he killed these. And then Lord Balaram appears in the womb. So first, it's sort of like in the practice of Krishna consciousness, you stop doing bad things, but then you need Shuddha Sattva. You need Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam. The Bhagavatam says that from Shuddha Sattva, from pure goodness, comes Krishna consciousness. So pure goodness is represented by Lord Balaram. So first in Devaki's womb or Devaki's heart, get rid of all those bad things, and then Balaram enters, makes a pure spiritual transcendental atmosphere, and then Krishna arrives. Finally, Krishna arrives. So that's the metaphors that's there. And then, of course, later in Krishna's Leela, Krishna delivers these sons. He goes to Yamaraj. Because Devaki, after Krishna kills Kamsa, he asks Vasudeva and Devaki if he can do anything for them. And Devaki says, "My sons were all killed. Can you go get them?" They're in the abode of Yamaraj, and Krishna goes and brings them back to Devaki. And then I don't remember what happens next, but at some point, either they were returned to their original position in this material world, or they got liberation. At some point, we would understand that ultimately they got liberation. Ananda Prabhu?
I just remember one thing that Prabhupada said about karma. He said, not only does every action have a reaction, he said every little part of every reaction has of every action has a reaction.
Yes, karma is difficult. I'd like to find that reference because that's an interesting idea. Because sometimes I think like I've mentioned it before: is karma situational or is it, you know, every instantaneous moment? For example, if I kill someone, well, I have to drive my car there, I have to buy a gun, I have to do all these different things. Do I get a reaction for every breath that I take along the way? Or is it just that there's the overall act that I committed, that episode in my life that I get a reaction for? So according to what you're saying, every single moment we're creating karma. Of course, I can see that side of it too. Just like I think sometimes, you know, we're driving down the street, we're killing insects. I just happened to see some of these love bugs yesterday, and I thought, oh, here comes the love bugs again. Whatever they're called. And I was going to smash so many of those against our windshield. So what's the result of that for us? It seems to me our way out of getting reaction for that is that we have to be engaged in the service of Krishna. Our lives should be engaged. Whatever we're doing has to be connected to our lives as devotees and our service to Krishna. Whereas those who are not, just imagine all the killing that goes on in a person's life, what the reactions are for all of that. Phew, how complicated it is. Chitragupta must have a really big book. Chitragupta is Yamaraj's scribe. He writes everything down, so he keeps track. He must have it digitized these days. Really compressed hard drive. Krishna Gopal Prabhu.
So, when do you know that you're free from karma, and are you partially free from karma as you progress in Krishna consciousness?
Yeah, that's another tough one. We had Prabhupada gave two examples. He said, when you're following the order of the spiritual master, he said, of course, that, you know, what does that mean exactly at every moment of our lives? Of course, Prabhupada did want us to be Krishna conscious 24 hours a day. He would often say that. Always be engaged in the service of Krishna. If you have a free moment, pick up Srimad Bhagavatam or chant Hare Krishna. So he did expect us to be always engaged in Krishna consciousness to protect ourselves. And then he gave the example of, because it doesn't seem like this also comes up, well, if I'm liberated, but you can say by definition one is liberated if one is under the shelter of the spiritual master. So it doesn't seem like we're liberated, and Prabhupada gave the example, well, it's like when you unplug the fan, so the momentum is still there of the fan, but it's not getting more juice. Another example he gave was that if one is on a boat on the ocean, then you're protected, you're not drowning anymore, but you're still feeling the waves of the ocean. So So in one sense, you can say we're liberated in one sense, but in another sense, we're not. But anyway, that's the key. If we're always absorbed in service of the spiritual master, fully dedicated disciples of the spiritual master, then our karma is supposed to stop. If we're always chanting Hare Krishna, then we're not creating new karma. So that's why we're supposed to be Krishna conscious 24 hours a day, keep Krishna within our minds and keep Maya away. So we're a couple minutes over. We'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.